want to go home so you can have love, but you ran away because nobody loves you. Okay, buddy.
To another edition of the Narrative First podcast, the weekly podcast where story is always king. I am your host, Jim Hull, the voice of Narrative First, and this is episode number 25, Discovering the Hidden Narrative Code of a Great Story. Welcome back, everyone. We have a bit of a different episode this week. There's absolutely, positively no follow-up. Well, wait, there is one thing. My son, Alex Hull, who composed and performed the theme for the Narrative First podcast, he won Movie of the Week over on Destiny. I don't know, I sound like an old person talking about video games. Destiny is a huge game on PlayStation, made by the same people who made Halo, and every week they pick somebody from the community who's made like an amazing movie, and Alex went through and reorchestrated 15 minutes of all the theme music from the game and put it together into a single movie. And he actually won, which is fantastic. And the original composer of the game even left a comment on there saying, you know, great work, and couldn't be more proud. So if you like the opening music of Narrative First, I'll leave a link in the show notes to his movie of the week, and you can go listen to it there. Extremely busy week, catching up with clients and working out some new stories, and there really wasn't any time to do anything on the site. I guess everybody's getting ready for NaNoWriMo for next month, and so there was a lot of last minute fixing up outlines and fixing up story structure so people could be all ready to write, I don't know, what is it, 1,000, 2,000 words a day? So the only other interesting thing that happened is I saw Swiss Army Man, which was at Sundance when I was there, and I really wanted to see it, and everybody was talking about it. I finally got a chance to see it. You know,
you want to go home so you can have love, but you ran away because nobody loves you.
That's my dead Daniel Radcliffe impersonation. And I absolutely loved it. I know it kind of maybe falls apart at the end, narrative structurally wise, but as far as touching the heart and as far as the kind of feeling that you get from the film, I thought it was tremendous. I'm going to try and do an analysis of it, but I would definitely recommend that you watch the film. It's absolutely, it's great. Not sure why it only got 67%, although I think a lot of it has to do with how it kind of falls apart and reaches a little bit towards the absurd at the end, which probably made people uncomfortable. And I think perhaps, I guess my intuition is telling me that the story form gets broken at the end somehow, but I'll have to dig deeper into that. So instead, what I want to do is I want to talk about the story forming series. I finally got around to doing the second episode of the story forming series, which is where I take you through step by step the process of how I discover the story form for a particular story. And in this case, it's The Dark Horse. Now, The Dark Horse was written and directed by James Napier Robertson, came out in 2014, and it's the story of real-life story of Genesis, a savant who suffered from bipolar personality disorder, and his struggles with trying to teach disadvantaged children how to do something positive with their life by learning chess, and you know, his personal struggle with his own demons, inner demons, and you know, how he managed to help elevate the children around him. So it's a tremendous story. It's got a fantastically strong story form. I've already written analysis about it, which I will put a link to in the show notes. But what I'd like to do now is to play you the audio from that video so that you can listen in and kind of clue into the thought process that goes into analyzing a story. A lot of people like to talk about how Dramatica is just a tool for analysis and how, you know, it's really not something for creating a story, which, whatever, if you want to think that. But when you go to rewrite your story, and likely when you go to rewrite your draft during NaNoWriMo, the process of rewriting, you know, first what you have to do is analyze what you have. And so effectively, you would use Dramatica to analyze the story that you have. You know, if you're just going to start, you know, November 1 next week, you might want to analyze the outline you have or the structure that you have in mind to see if it has an actual story form to it and where you can shore up the different areas of your story to make it stronger. Regardless of whether you think Dramatica is just a tool for analysis or a tool for writing, it's a tool for writing because the rewrite process is analysis first and then writing again, and it's a back and forth. And so you need both sides of that. And by analyzing a story, I guarantee you, the more you analyze film and story in either, you know, novels or plays, the more you analyze story and story structure, you will be developing your own story sense, your own story intuition, to the point where you won't even need dramatic. I mean, maybe to get like the exact details of where the different story points are, but you will start to develop a sense of how stories work and be able to quickly identify where the problems are. So it can help you out at home, or it can help you out in the story room. You know, wherever you are, any kind of meeting that you take, you will be developing your story sense by analyzing stories. So without further ado, here is the story forming series on The Dark Horse. Welcome to episode number 2 of the story forming series from Narrative First. This is episode number 2, The Dark Horse, a tremendous film out of New Zealand from 2014, masterfully written and directed by James Napier Robertson. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to show you how I came about the story form for the film, and by showing you how to analyze a terrific story, you should be able to apply it to your own work. So the first thing we want to do is identify the 4 through lines. The first through line we're going to look at is the overall story through line. And in The Dark Horse, that's all about doing something positive for the children. So there is a chess club for underprivileged kids in this particular part of New Zealand. And the chess club is called the Eastern Knights. And Genesis here, the protagonist of the piece, is doing all that he can to do something positive, to make a positive change for these children. Not only is he the protagonist of the piece, but he also happens to be the main character. And so Dramatica makes a distinction between the main character through line and the overall story through line. And most often, you know, the same player that fulfills the protagonist role is also the main character, the one that we get to know intimately and who we basically see the film through their eyes. And in The Dark Horse, that's Genesis. And of course, his personal problem is the struggle he has with dealing with bipolar disorder and trying to keep stability in his own life. And with every main character through line, so you have an overall story through line and a main character through line, and then you have what's known as the influence character through line. And the influence character through line provides an alternative perspective to the main character through line and gives them somewhat of a challenge and the impetus for growth. And in The Dark Horse, the influence character through line is provided by his brother, Eriki. Now, Eriki is completely immersed into the gang culture. It's the only way he's known, and it's basically the only way he's known how to survive. And so that's the alternative perspective that he has for Genesis. Genesis, of course, is looking for something positive for the kids. And Eriki just thinks the only way to get by is through aligning yourself with some kind of gang. And lastly, we have the relationship story through line, which is the relationship between the main character and the influence character. Now, the interesting thing in this film is that the influence character role is actually handed off between two characters, Eriki and his son, Mana. Mana, while he would prefer to do something else, actually provides kind of the outlet and the voice for Eriki when he can't be around, to kind of challenge Genesis. So the relationship story through line is about family and to fulfill those roles that are needed in order to take care of people in your family. So here you see we have 4 through lines now. The overall story through line, the main character through line, the influence character through line, and the relationship story through line. And in Dramatica, what we do now is we find where the source of conflict is in each of those 4 through lines. Conflict can either be found in a situation, an activity, a fixed attitude, or a manner of thinking. And you'll notice the top 2 are external areas of conflict, and the bottom 2 are internal areas of conflict, with situation and attitude being fixed states, and activity and manners of thinking being processes. So what will happen is, in a great story, the 4 through lines, each through line will actually take up one of these domains and explore the story's problem from that point of view. And what you want to do is align each through line with one of these domains, knowing that the main character and influence character will be across from each other, as will the overall story and the relationship story through line. So looking at these four through lines, I came up with this arrangement. So you'll see in the upper right, the overall story is in activity because the conflict comes from teaching these kids how to play and the actual competition that happens at the end. And then we have main character Genesis in an attitude because it's that fixed state of mind that he's dealing with, that bipolar disorder. And then his brother, Eriki, is locked in a situation. You know, his body is declining, he's suffering from some sort of cancer, and, you know, this is the only way he knows how to survive is to align himself with a gang like this. And then finally, the relationship story is about Eriki and Genesis back and forth trying to convince each other which way is the best way and who will take care of the family. So with these four through lines chosen, now what we want to do is go into Dramatica. So here we are in Dramatica Story Expert. I've already gone ahead and filled in the overall story through line, the main character, the influence character, and the relationship through line names. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump right into the story engine up here. And you'll see here we have 32,768 possible story forms. Now that's a lot of story forms. So what we're going to do is narrow that down to one. And we're going to start over here in the character dynamics. Genesis is most definitely the steadfast character. Eriki, his brother, ends up being the changed character, and they did a marvelous job encoding both resolves at the end. There was no back and forth, and it was very definite who was the changed character, and they honored the steadfast character, which was really fantastic. The main character growth, which is the second part of the character arc, I'm actually going to leave blank. It's pretty obvious to me that it's a start story. You know, for a steadfast character, they're either holding out for something to stop or holding out for something to start. And it's not so much that, you know, there's people abusing Genesis and he's just, you know, holding out, hoping people will stop beating him up and stuff. It's not that kind of story. It's more about him, you know, looking for something positive, just maintaining and holding on, just holding on for that hope that there'll be something more. So I'm going to guess that that is start, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it and see if Dramatica predicts it for us. Main character approach. You know, when I first watched it, I was thinking that he was a doer. I had split it up over two nights, and the first night I was thinking, well, maybe he's a doer because he goes out and he does all this stuff. But it was clear to me by the end of the film that he was just an extremely strong beer. I mean, that last scene where he goes in and he picks up Mana and takes him out of his house and away from all that awfulness that he had to deal with. I mean, that whole scene in there, he's just being. You know, when he went and he faced up to Mutt, he beat Mutt down by being something. It's a great example of a beer character, not a doer character. So I will definitely mark him down as a beer. His problem-solving style, you know, I thought maybe there might be some sort of holistic problem-solving in there, but in the amount to which I was able to associate myself with the film, it most likely is linear, but for right now, I'm going to leave it blank. The story drivers, those were most definitely actions. You know, he ends up with his brother. His brother finds out that his son has been with Genesis, and of course he assumes that Genesis is kind of inspiring him to do something else. And his brother's really freaked out. You know, he's dying. He doesn't want to leave his son in the care of, you know, his mentally disabled brother. And so he's, you know, wants to harden him up by doing the gang culture. And so when he finds out that he's with him, that forces him to make the decision to kick Genesis out. And then, of course, you know, the midpoint is when the one child, his mother, finds out that Genesis has been sleeping up at the park. And, you know, she doesn't want anything to do with that. And so that forces her, you know, finding out. We don't see that action, but her finding out that action that he's been sleeping up there forces her to make that decision to take her kid out of the class. And then the third story driver, I guess it would be 1, 2, 3, 4. The fourth story driver, which would move the traditional second act into the third act, that's when Mana gets patched, you know, when he gets inducted into the gang and gets that V inscribed into his cheek. That essentially forces Genesis to, you know, abscond with him and take him up to Auckland in order to participate in the chess tournament. And then finally at the end, you know, they win. So it's definitely a story driver action. The story limit, usually you just hardwire this into option lock because almost every story in the world is an option lock, but this one for sure is a time lock. You know, we have the chess tournament is coming up in a couple weeks and it gets counted down in each signpost, and that the pressure comes from that deadline. you know, Genesis deciding whether or not to take Mana with him, that pressure comes from him running out of time. The outcome is most definitely a success. You know, he does find something positive for the kids to do, and they do end up winning. I mean, the story itself isn't about winning, but just the fact that they all participated and were able to show that they could do something more is a success. And finally, the judgment is clearly good. I mean, Mana placing his hand on Genesis' shoulder, you know, basically telling him that it's going to be okay without even using any words, that just goes to show that all the efforts that Genesis went through were all worth it. And he was able to get over his own issues with his bipolar disorder. So right there, you can see we're down to 512 story forms. And what we'll do is we'll go to the theme browser, pull out here to the top. And according to, you know, the through lines that we discussed before we got into Dramatica, we'll go ahead and put the overall story here in activity. And you'll see right away that moved Genesis into the main character domain of fixed attitude. It put Eriki in situation and the relationship and manipulation. So right there, Dramatica predicted what it was that I thought it was. It already confirmed that the choices that I made were correct. And if we go back up here to the story engine, you'll see right here. In Dramatica, the blue choices here are choices that we made, and the red choices are choices that Dramatica predicts should be there in order to make it a complete story. So here you can see it predicted start, it predicted Genesis and fixed attitude, Eriki and situation, and the relationship story and manipulation. So I felt pretty confident about these through lines, but I wasn't quite sure where the concerns are. I mean, coming back here to the theme browser, the way Dramatica works, when you pick one concern, it'll pick the same concern in the other through lines in the same location. So if you pick understanding, it's going to pick memories here. It's going to pick developing a plan here and the past here. And the reason for that is you want your story to be consistent across all four through lines and to examine the same source of conflict, but just from different points of view. So, I mean, I could already tell there wasn't any memories of the past. It was not a huge thing throughout the entire story. The future, changing one's nature, I mean, those come up a lot, but they aren't actually the source of conflict. And so what I was hoping was that it would be somewhere here in doing, because I thought the chess tournament was more about, you know, like I said with the description of the overall story, just doing something positive for the children, not actually winning. I mean, it would be nice to win, but really it's just about the actual doing of it that is creating problems with people in the community, you know, who don't want their kids doing these sort of things and giving them kind of false hopes. So what that does, if we go ahead and put this in doing, what that'll do is it'll make the main character concern of impulsive responses, which sounds nice. I mean, I like that because, you know, somebody who suffers from bipolar disorder, you know, when we first see him, he just has that impulse to walk through the rain with his hands up in that beautiful shot. I mean, that shot is the main reason why I purchased the film, because I just thought that was the most beautiful opening to any film I'd seen in a really long time. And, you know, kind of the impulsive responses he puts on other people, you know, people are kind of like a little shocked at the kind of the stuff he does and him talking to himself. And it's really nice here too, because it puts Eriki in how things are changing. You know, his body is decaying, he's dwindling, and he's worried about, you know, whether or not his son will be able to get into the gang and be able to take his place. And for the relationship, it puts it in playing a role, which I thought was really nice because, you know, the two brothers, you know, the older brother was there to take care of his, you know, mentally disabled brother when it was needed. And, you know, eventually those roles reverse towards the end of the story, which is really nice. So I felt really strongly that these were the concerns, but I wasn't quite sure. I knew in impulsive responses that the issues that'll come up were value, worth, confidence, and worry. And I didn't see value or worth or confidence. I was really hoping that worry was going to be the place where the conflict was, but I don't know exactly the elements that are underneath worry. So when I brought up the theme browser and I looked inside here, I was really happy to see non-accurate and accurate. And those are two pretty difficult terms to understand when it comes to the Dramatica theory of story. Non-accurate is really about stuff that's intolerable and not up to normal standards. And you can see that definitely with someone who suffers from a mental disorder, that their behavior is just not, it's not something that is on the norm. You know, it's not accurate. Accurate is the dynamic pair to non-accurate. And those are things that are sufficient, adequate, passable, and acceptable. And then result and process, I wasn't really too sure about that. But the problem then is non-accurate the problem of the story, or is it his symptom? He seems pretty well aware that his behavior is not acceptable. I mean, he's there in the bathroom and his nose is bleeding uncontrollably and he keeps pulling out all those paper towels and trying to stop the bleeding. Of course, his nose really isn't bleeding. And he's aware of that. And, you know, the person in charge of the chess club is trying to tell him, you know, maintain that stability and do what you need to do. And so I felt like maybe this would be the main character symptom. So, you know, we're down to 32 story forms here, and it would be nice to see if maybe this is it. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead, and this is what I did, is I went and I chose the main character's symptom of non-accurate, and he's trying to remain accurate for everybody else. And what that does, you'll see, is it brought us down to 2 story forms, which is great. We went from 32 to 2 just with that one choice. And it makes his problem result and his solution process, which doesn't feel great to me, but I could probably figure out something with that. So then what I do is I go and I look in the other 3 lines and see what kind of choices Dramatica predicts would fit in with a story with a main character symptom of non-accurate. And coming up into the overall story, you'll see that it shares the same symptom and response as Genesis, but the problem is expectation, which I thought was really great. At first I thought, well, this is definitely the story form for it, because, you know, there's a certain level of expectation that Eriki has for his son and that the other kids have for themselves. And at the end, Mana basically makes the determination that he's going to go play the game no matter what, and also that he's going to return to the gang life. So I thought this felt really good. Looking over at Eriki's through line, same thing, the expectation and determination solution, hunch and theory. I could see, you know, his instincts would signal to him that something was wrong, and so he has his own theory of how things are supposed to work out. And then finally, in the relationship story through line, a problem of effect. That didn't feel right to me. But again, it could have been the effect of Genesis hanging out with Mana and the effect playing that chess game has on them. It just, that to me would make sense. So what I did, I wasn't quite too sure about that. So then what I did is I came over here and I flipped this to making this the problem. And again, it brought it down to 2 story forms. And you'll see with non-accurate as the main character problem. And as a steadfast character, the problem is more a source of drive within the main character. The way I look at it is it's a perfect like characteristic of the main character. So if you look at their problem, that's them. So non-accurate, that is Genesis. I mean, he's intolerable. He's off the norm. And if you look at the symptoms, the result, that's, you know, if you keep doing the things that you're doing, you're going to cause all these problems and these kids are going to have trouble. And so, you know, maintaining that stability is just do the process, do what the doctors told you, take your medicine. That felt really strong to me. Looking up at the overall story through line, same thing here with the result and process. The unending, that felt okay, but I wasn't quite sure about that. And then looking over here at the influence character, unending is the problem and ending is the solution. That felt great to me because Eriki, you know, wants to continue that sort of gang life for Mana and to keep the continuation of it beyond his years, even though it's coming to a quick end. So he looks out and, you know, there's nobody he can trust, nobody he can turn to, you know, who is there to put their hand on my shoulder? There wasn't anybody. And so, you know, turning to Mutt to kind of harden up his son is that test response. And of course, as the change character, an ending solution for him is perfect because, you know, he brings an end to Mana having to be in the gang and basically, you know, takes the jacket from Genesis and allows Mana to leave. So that feels really strong to me. And then looking in the relationship story, you know, we have unproven and proven as the problem and solution. And I absolutely love this because the real problem between Eriki and Genesis is the fact that, you know, Genesis has never been able to show that he could possibly take care of Mana. I mean, he has plans to do it and he would like to do it, but it's a completely unproven thing. And that's what motivates the relationship and motivates them to be at odds with each other. And of course, when he goes and he stands up to Mutt and he shows that he can do it and he can actually take his place, that's when Eriki finally changes. You know, he comes out and he doesn't say anything,
until Genesis turns, steps up to Mutt, and tells him, "When are you going to stop crying?" And that's when he tells Mutt to stop. So this one felt really, really strong to me. And you'll see here we got it down to two story forms. So what I'll do is I'll go over here and look at the signposts. You'll see Dramatic has already predicted a whole bunch of stuff for us, all these different red story points. We picked the blue story points, and then Dramatic have filled in all the blanks. So looking at the signposts here, you'll see the four through lines. The overall story through line, the main character through line, the influence character through line, and the relationship story through line. And you'll see four signposts for each through line. And each of these four signposts correspond to what most people consider acts. So signpost one would be the first act. Signpost two and three would be what most people consider acts 2A and 2B. And signpost four would be what most people see as act three. And you'll see Dramatic has already predicted an act order for the overall story. It's going to start out with understanding or misunderstandings, the doing, which is the actual, you know, playing of the game, obtaining, which is the winning, and then finally learning. So it's already said, you know, with the story dynamics that you have chosen here, the signpost order for the overall story should be this order. But you'll notice here in the main character for Genesis, there isn't anything. And one of the scenes that really stood out for me that was really strong was when he was raging inside the van. You know, he was struggling back and forth and was getting really frustrated. And I felt like he was really losing his mind at that moment. And so what I had hoped was that in signpost three, it was going to be impulsive responses. But of course, I come here and I don't have impulsive responses as a choice. I either have innermost desires or contemplations. And certainly contemplation is not what he's doing in this third signpost. And so, you know, I stepped away and thought about it a little longer. And actually, innermost desires makes more sense. Because what he's doing in that van is he's letting all that anger out. He's letting all that frustration out, all that, you know, all the struggle that he's been through. You know, he's kicking out that windshield and feeling that rain on his fingertips. That is somebody who's raging and getting those desires out of themselves. And so innermost desires actually makes the most sense here. And you'll see it went ahead and put in the other signposts for the entire relationship story and rounded out Genesis through line two. And it brought us down to one story form, which is exactly what we wanted. And I really liked here too, for signpost two and memories, that to me makes great sense because, you know, there's that whole sequence with Mana up on the hilltop where Mana asks him what it was like, you know, when you found out that you were this way. And Genesis has to recount, you know, what it was like being in the hospital and having the doctor tell you that you're sick and that you're always going to be this way and that you need to take these pills. And that whole moment there, that's a very intimate insight into Genesis having to relive those painful memories. And then, of course, at the end, signpost four, I mean, when he returns home from the tournament and he's just broken and just feels like, oh, I've just been through it all, you know, he's sitting there in that house just contemplating, ruminating over and over again, what is it that I should do? What should I do? How should I approach this? And, you know, he finally makes that choice to go and grab Mana and stand up to Mutt. And so this through-line order actually feels fantastic. And looking back at the master tab here, we'll see that it picked linear as the main character problem-solving style, which makes the most sense because it's much easier for me to relate to a linear thinker than it is a holistic thinker just because of who I am. And I was able to, you know, empathize with Genesis and really feel the same kind of pain that he was going through. And the choices he made, you know, made sense to me. So a linear main character problem-solving style here is perfect. And again, you know, we're down to one story form. And then, so what I'll do is I'll look over these red choices that Dramatica made and see if it makes sense. And, you know, the unique ability and critical flaw of the main character just feels fantastic. I mean, so the unique ability is what the main character, that's their unique ability to help the overall story end in success. And if you look here, it's value. And, you know, the amount to which he is able to value these children and value, you know, the work that he does and giving them something to be hopeful about and to look forward to, that unique ability is what helps these kids get to a place where they can do something positive for themselves. And it's so strong that it undermines any, you know, mental disability he may have, you know, or what other people think his capabilities are. That value is strong enough to undermine that. And then looking down here at the influence character, you'll see the unique ability of fact and the critical flaw of skill. Now, the unique ability here of the influence character is that unique skill that the influence character has that will undermine or influence the main character to change. And, you know, Genesis is a steadfast character, so this unique ability actually loses out to the critical flaw that Ereki has. And you can see the unique ability here is the facts, you know, who is there from the beginning, you know, who was it that put, you know, the hand on your shoulder and told you that it was okay. And when he lays out all the facts of the situation that has been there since they were kids, you know, that gives Genesis a moment of pause to think like, oh, maybe this isn't what I should be doing. But, you know, Mana's skill at playing chess undermines any facts that Ereki has. I mean, he's got the skills to competitively compete in a chess tournament. And so that just, the facts fall flat. And then over here, the relationship story inhibitor of confidence, you know, this is the thing that slows down the relationship. And Ereki has absolutely no confidence in Genesis' ability to take over the father role. And then finally, the catalyst and inhibitor of the overall story. You'll see, you know, the wisdom here is kind of that old world wisdom that Genesis brings to the chess club. You know, when he talks about Maui and how every kid here is a warrior and they each have to pick a piece and that represents them. And, you know, when they come to the club, they have to put the piece on the board and that brings them all together. That kind of old world wisdom is what catalyzes their road to victory. And then this is here, the inhibitor is all about the mother. You know, she just feels completely unsafe having her child around a homeless person that sleeps up in the park and is mentally disabled. So this here just brings a screeching halt to the overall story. And then lastly, the benchmarks in this film are particularly strong too. The benchmarks are how you judge the level of concern in each through line. So here you can see the benchmarks for each through line. For the overall story here, it's in obtaining. So, you know, the amount of players they lose or gain, and also, you know, how they're able to actually win the tournament. You know, who loses one by one as they drop off, that makes them more concerned that they can't compete. Here we have Genesis. His benchmark is innermost desires, which makes sense. You know, the amount of rage that builds up in him, whether he can control that, or the fear that's on his face, you know, and the fear that he's doing the right thing, that, you know, measures his concern with his impulsive responses. And then the benchmark for the influence character is fantastic. Here it's the future. And Ereki, you know, definitely is measuring everything by whatever future Mana has. You know, whether it's with the gangs or it's with Genesis, this is how he measures his concern of how things are changing. And finally, the relationship story benchmark of changing one's nature. That's all about Genesis, you know, essentially becoming a father to Mana. And so there we have the one story form for the Dark Horse. Hopefully by seeing how someone would analyze a fantastic film, I mean, just a really tremendous narrative and a great piece of art, by seeing how they were able to weave story points together, the idea is that you can then go ahead and apply the same process to your own work. If you have any questions, feel free to write to us at narrativefirst.com/contact. Thank you for watching, and we will see you soon.
So that was it for the story forming series for The Dark Horse. Hopefully in the following weeks I'll be able to do some more story forming series for other films. If you have any questions about anything, please write to narrativefirst.com/contact. Hope you have a great weekend and a great Halloween. Have fun writing, and we will see you next week.
Okay, buddy.